You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
And we're continuing our series entitled All That Matters. All That Matters, what Jesus said about money. This is our third week, our third installment in a four-week series, and so we end next week. Now, we said in the first week that every single day we make decisions. We make value-based decisions. Based on, like, for example, where will you eat today? Okay, or if you ate this morning or after this, or you will eat in a restaurant, you want to make sure you go to the place where you get your most value or the best value for your money. Every day we make 35,000 decisions. Many of them, most of them, some of them deliberate, some of them, you know, you don't think about them anymore. Okay, you just, like for example, driving the same route, you don't think about it as much going to work because you've gotten used to it. So 35,000 daily decisions. And we said that we are shaped by our decisions and our decisions are influenced by our values. We are shaped by our decisions, the way we've, you know, where we are today and what we listen to, what we eat, how we exercise, how much time we sleep at night. These are decisions we make and it shapes us physically, spiritually, emotionally. And our decisions are influenced by our values. And so that's why it's important to find out what does God value? Okay, what really matters to God? And so that's why we are having this series. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. We're going to read the scriptures. And if I could ask us to stand to honor God's word as we read together. If you could stand, I'll post it on the screen as we read 41 to 44. He sat down, this is talking about Jesus. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, the poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box." Verse 44. They all contributed out of their abundance, but she, talking about the widow, she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. Let's bow our heads and pray. We commit to you, Lord, the study of your word. We ask, Lord, that as we read and apply, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit will be at work in our hearts as we move from here after the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may go and have a seat. Let me give you a background. This is a rendition of at least that scene by James Tissot, a French artist. And this was in the week of the Passion Week where Jesus, all right, just entered Jerusalem on a Monday. Tuesday, he cleared out the temple. If you remember the time in the temple where he had to clear them out because it became a marketplace. People from all over the world were coming into Jerusalem to, you know, as a pilgrimage, as to worship the Lord in the temple, to give their offerings. But it became a marketplace. They were selling stuff. They were selling the offerings. And Jesus was upset. This is one on a Tuesday. Wednesday was when he did all these indictments against the religious system. If you remember Pastor Carlos's message last week, he was talking about the woes. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees. Woe to you religious leaders, you hypocrites. This was what was going on. And so Jesus, all right, was making observations of what was going on in the temple treasury. It was the Passover week, as I said. Verse 41, the Bible says, and he sat down opposite the treasury. It's interesting how this verse started with a conjunction, and. The reason for this was because he was having a discourse previous to this verse. And then after this small vignette in this part of Scripture, he talks about the destruction of the temple, the judgment upon the temple of God. And so if we could divide them into three acts, Act 1 would be the condemnation against the religious system, and then the offering of the widow, Act 2, Act 3 would be the judgment on the temple, which would happen, fast forward several decades after that, in 70 AD, where the temple was destroyed during that time. And so this was what was going on, at least during that time when this small part of Scripture was brought in Mark chapter 12. Now, verse 38, the prior conversation he had, all right, Jesus was talking about, this is what he was telling his disciples. And in his teaching, he said, beware of the scribes. He was telling those guys, watch out, be cautious with these scribes who like to walk around in long robes. What was the long robes? Another version says that these were flowing robes. Whenever they would walk, you cannot miss them. Okay, parang bandila sila, di ba? They will walk around with just these flowing robes. They would see them. Okay, these guys are significant. Not the bathrobes, right? But these were robes that were, like whether that would be purple, which would talk about their wealth, right? And so long robes. And then they like to be greeted in the marketplaces. This would be what people would call the peacock factor, where they would want to display their plumage. They would strut their stuff, and they want to be recognized in places, right? And they like to be greeted in the marketplace. Not that greeting and honoring people of position and authority is wrong. That's not what Jesus is saying. What he was saying was the motive, the motivation and the intent of the hearts of these scribes were to get self. They were self-absorbed, and they were wanting the attention to themselves. Okay, verse 39, and have the best seats in the synagogue and the places of honor of feasts. Okay, and then this was an interesting caveat to his statement. These guys devour widows' houses. Okay, wait, Jesus, what do you mean by devour widows' houses? I mean, I thought, siguro gingerbread house lang yung pwedeng kainin. But what do you talk about eat these houses? Why are you talking about devouring widows' houses? What does that mean? It's interesting, in the Old Testament, when you read it, a lot of provision about widows and the fatherless. In Psalms, the Bible says in 68 verse 5, he is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. That is God in his holy dwelling. And then in Deuteronomy, you'll see this all over Scripture in the Old Testament. At the end of every 3 years, you shall bring out all the tithe of your produce in the same year and lay it up within your towns. In other words, what the law was saying, bring out the tithes, bring out the stuff, the fruits, the livestock, bring them out for everybody to get it, to see rather. And then the Levite, all right, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the sojourner, the fatherless, and the what? The widow, who are within your towns, shall come and eat and be filled, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work that you have, of your hands that you do. So what was he saying? Take care of the widows. Make sure you take care of the widows. Jesus was upset with a religious system that was corrupt and breaking the backs of the widows and the poor, wanting to get more from them, whereas they're supposed to be the ones helping the poor and the widow and the destitute. The scribes would abuse the poor, we are told by the commentators. While they had religious duties, they also performed legal functions. If a woman loses her husband, he could act as a trustee where the property could be given or at least be held by him. What was happening is that they would hold on to the properties and abuse and misuse what they are holding as a trustee. More so, what they were doing is they would force the widows to give to the temple treasury in spite of their condition and their situation. Jesus was upset And that's why he was giving all these woes to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and to the scribes. Now, that's where we pick up our story in verse 41. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums. He was observing. And you know, when during those times, there were 13 receptacles for offering, brazen, made of brass receptacles, similar to like this. It'll be like looking like a ram's horn, like the shofar. And you would put in your coins in there, and you could not just see the coins, but you could hear the coins. All right? You could hear the coins, right? And there were no paper bills then. Okay? It was just coins. You know why only there were no paper bills then? Kasi coin purse. Diba? Viro lang. Corny. That didn't fly. Now, think about this for a moment. They're all watching. Jesus with his disciples. I don't know if you do this. Let's say you go to, maybe you're in the airport, or maybe you're in the mall, or you're in a restaurant sitting, drinking your coffee or tea, and then there are people that pass by. I don't know if you ever do this. Like, you create a narrative, right? Like, say, oh, that's such a cute couple. Maybe they've been together for 3 years, right? Or maybe, oh, that guy is looking really lonely. Maybe he was just, you know, maybe nabasted yan, or, you know, he's really looking sad. Do you guys do that, or just me? Okay. And so, you know, and this is more of just a sanctified imagination. You know, Jesus and maybe the disciples were just sitting there. Okay, all right, well, okay, look at this guy. This guy has a 7-seater chariot. Maybe he'll give a lot to the offering. And you could not just see the offering, you could actually hear the offering. Ding, 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 ding. Right? And so, all right, now this lady has a nice travel pouch made of camel leather, right? And it has that nice logo there, okay? From Lydia of Thyatira, okay? And so, wow, right? Maybe we could hear a lot of ding, 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 right? And so she puts in money and then it's just ding, 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 ding. Oh, that's not a lot. I thought she would give more. And you could begin to create a narrative. Oh, maybe she had a hard week this week. Or maybe she didn't really earn a lot of money this week. Okay? And just, this was happening, right? And so the disciples were sitting, and then they saw this widow come. Right? I don't know. Maybe they said, oh, pare, CR muna ako. I mean, like, there was no narrative could be said because they know what she was going to put in. Because it's expected that she would not have a lot, right? And this is how it would look like, these lepton, okay? You've heard of denarius, right? And shekels and currencies in Scripture. The denarius is a day's wage. That's about, for us in the Philippines now, it's about 500 to 537 daily minimum wage. Bruta is 1/64th of denarius, 8.39. If you make two, that's brutas, okay? Okay. Pwede, pwede, pwede. And then lepton, 1/2 of brutas, 4.19. All right? And so the Bible says she gave two leptons, and so it will be 8.39 pesos. I mean, that's not a lot. You can't even buy Cornetto or Pinipig Crunch or anything like that, right? But he throws him off, Jesus throws him off with this statement. This is what Jesus said. And he called his disciples to him and said this, to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than those who are contributing to the offering box. Wait, what? What are you talking about, Jesus? Wait, are you saying that's more than what they've given? I mean, your math is a little off today, Jesus. Did you sleep well last night? It's like, I don't understand what you're talking about. Two coins was more than 2,000 denarius? Okay. How can be 8 pesos, which was our current currency right now, if it was converted, how can 8 pesos be more than 8,000 pesos? In other words, see, the bank of heaven is not preoccupied by the size of your gift. God is never impressed with size. He owns the heavens and the earth. Psalm 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." He's never impressed by size. We are, but he's not. Mark 12, 44 says, "For they all contributed out of their abundance, out of their overflow, out of their surplus. But she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The word "live on" is the word bios, life, okay? By which life is sustained. That's all she had. Which was why this narrative was both a condemnation and a commendation. It was a condemnation against these guys. "I can't believe that this religious system is breaking the back of the poor. You're still causing her and forcing her to give. She's a widow. We're supposed to be the ones helping. Why is she still giving all that she has? This is wrong." It was a condemnation, but a commendation to this woman who wanted to worship in spite of her circumstance. A few months ago, somebody came up to me, a modern-day widow, which would be a solo parent today. She came up to me, and her husband left her. She's in another country right now, and she does not have a consistent work or job or income. She doesn't. She has a teenager, and she came up to me, "Pastor Paul," she had an amount. She said, "Pastor Paul, I owe the church this amount for tithes and offering." I said, "What are you talking about?" I said, "I owe the church this amount." I said, "You don't worry about that." I said, you just, you know, make sure your son gets to school. Make sure you have food on the table. Don't worry about that. God doesn't keep tabs. In other words, you just, when you don't have work. Okay? When you have a job, then you can continue your giving. The Bible says give generously. You see, the cheerful, God wants to us to be cheerful givers. You see, did you know that guilt is the worst motivator? Because if you just give out of guilt, that's not cheerful giving. Bible says in 2 Corinthians, give with a cheerful heart and an attitude. That's what God seeks. And not that I'm, I was telling her, you know what, you just don't worry about it. I relieved her of all that guilt. Don't worry about it. Give when you can and when the Lord, you know, allows you to do so. But take care of your son. Make sure he's in school. See, what are some of the things that we can learn from this? Number one, God sees what man overlooks. Big gifts are noticeable. It's easier to notice big gifts. But Jesus saw something that no one else did. It was an offering that came from the heart. It was worthy of comment. And you see, it's easier to be impressed by large amounts. Our giving is never measured by the sum, but by the sacrifice. I met with one of our campus missionaries the other day. We had lunch, I think it was Friday. And his name is Kian Ramos. He and his wife have been reaching out to this science high school. About 1,000 brilliant students in here in Taguig, Cayetano High School. And they have what they would call Real Talk, the Hope Project. Hope stands for healing, optimism, progress, and empathy. And so they would talk about, you know, they have talks on anxiety, talks on hopelessness, and feelings of depression. And I understand there's clinical depression and all that, but they're talking about just the feelings of hopelessness and anxiety. And they would go from classroom to classroom and talk about Jesus and how Jesus has the ability to give hope and has the ability to, like what we sang earlier, you know, God makes the broken whole again. That's what Jesus gets to do. And so they would go from classroom to classroom and talk to the kids about this. It's not a big convention in Moa. It's not a huge thousands upon thousands of conference in Araneta, but let me tell you, they're making a difference in the lives of these young people. And together with them, there were two young professionals, people who just finished college, but now are pouring into the next generation. It's not thousands of pesos, it's not millions of pesos, but they're serving God through that. You think God sees that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me encourage you, God sees the little things that you do for His kingdom. God sees it. Whatever you're doing for Him, even if you're a small group leader or your parents or your pastor or your church or media, even if they don't see it, God sees it. Next one. God's math is totally different from ours. Totally different. According to Jesus, she gave more. How can that be? What kind of accounting is that? Right? Again, the bank of heaven is different and is not preoccupied by the size of the gift. How can 2 cents be more than $2,000? Well, here's the thing. 2 cents out of 2 cents is a factor of one. 1,000 out of 10,000 is a factor of a tenth. That's why it's more. You see, some have given generously what they will never miss, while she, the widow, has given extraordinarily or extravagantly what she could never afford. That's why Jesus made a comment. Truly, I tell you, she gave more. It was a commendation. It was a condemnation upon the religious system, but it's a commendation on this woman. Truly, I say to you, she has given more. You know, I appreciate our kids' church teachers. If you're a parent here today, I hope you appreciate our kids' church teachers. When you pick up your kids, please tell them, give them a handshake, give them a tap in the back and say, thank you for serving, thank you for teaching our children. Why? Because you know what? Week after week, they teach the Word of God. And part of teaching the Word of God is honoring God with our wealth. And whatever they receive, they give a tithe or an offering to the Lord. Okay, there was a funny picture that was given to us, this one. Okay, it said here, dear God, Bible story says you like copper coins. I collected lots for you. Pretty cool. Nice, no? And it's so cool to see young people, children, honor Jesus with wealth. Now, does God need our wealth? No, He owns everything. He's not an insecure God. Oh, I don't know if this is going to work. I don't know if we're going to advance the kingdom anymore because you haven't given. It's really more for us than for Him. It's to break greed, to break materialism in our hearts. Here's another one. All these came just this week. Some of you here, if you don't have your children here or you don't have children, this is what they would call Casey Bucks. Right? This is some of the prizes that they get in children's church, in kids' church, right? And so this child gave his Casey Bucks as an offering to the Lord. Pretty cool. And some of us might giggle, Casey Bucks lang yan eh. Listen, to a child, that's huge. You see, and it's fitting. You know why? Because in the Old Testament, they would talk about giving your first fruits. Why was it called first fruits? Because it was literally the first fruit that would come. The first things, the first harvest, they'd give it to Jesus. And to a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old, this may be their first fruit. So they can buy their notebook or toy or whatever. But instead of buying toy or notebook or whatever, they give it to the Lord. God's math is way different from ours. Different. Third thing. Last one. Our giving is worship unto God. Our giving is worship unto God. Because more than just giving, you remember, If you backtrack, let me see, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Five chapters prior to chapter 12, Jesus was talking about this. He said, your heart, your lips glorify me, but your hearts are far away from me. You can worship me with your lips. You can worship me with your money, but your heart can be so far away from me. Because worship is way beyond singing. It's way beyond giving. It's way beyond all that we can show externally. God, look, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is as well. Her giving is worship unto the Lord. Jesus commended her of her faith. Truly, I say to you, I condemn the Pharisees and the scribes because of what they did, but I commend this lady. You know, there was a couple, I heard about their story. Pastor Brian Sebastian from our 3 p.m. service in Building 2 was talking about a couple named Dice and Pam. Dice and Pam had a baby who was a preemie, premature. She was born, Damara was born 6 months old. And many of you know, if you're born at 6 months, a lot of your internal organs are underdeveloped. So she had to be in NICU, neonatal ICU, for another 6 months. And their bill was about $2 million per month. You could compute. And so, but you know what they would do? Because they were there 6 months. They had to be there every day. And so rather than just being sorry for themselves, you know what they did? They started praying for the other babies in the other rooms. In fact, they would literally go and pray for the babies. Can we pray for your baby? Because we have a baby there on the other side too. Can we pray for you? So they prayed. And then the next baby, and the next baby, and the next baby. And they would actually develop relationships with the parents. In fact, there were times that, you know, because when you have a preemie, when you have a premature baby, they need milk. They need breast milk. And breast milk, if you buy breast milk, it's expensive. And so they gave thousands of pesos to the parents of the other babies. Okay? They gave what they couldn't afford. Because every month their bill is piling up. And yet they gave. And you know what? Dice was giving a testimony. He was saying, you know what? We gave, and yet the Lord kept giving back. In fact, we were somehow, because he was a contractor, project after project after project after project would come. And he said, God is faithful. And at the end, when they were able to bring Damara out, they were able to fully pay the bills. God is faithful, he says. Unfortunately, though, Damara had to be brought in back to the hospital, and she didn't make it. But you know what happened after that? This has become their ministry now. They look for people who have lost their babies, and they pray for them. How many of you know the comfort we received is the same comfort we can give other people? And God can use the brokenness that we have and the pain and the trial that we have had to suffer to actually bring comfort and help to other people. That's what Dice and Pam have done. And I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about time, treasure, and finance, whatever. Our giving has now become worship unto God. As we wrap our time today, here's my thought. The reason why we have the ability to be able to give is because we have received, for God so loved, he gave. Philippians chapter 2 says, have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. He poured out himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. You see, we don't give to be blessed. We give because we have been blessed. The ultimate blessing you and I have is the forgiveness of sin, so that you and I today can stand in front of a holy God and say, Lord, thank you for the salvation, forgiveness of sin that I have. I can now approach you whenever, however. through Christ. Because when we understand the magnitude of our debt, and then coupled with that, understand the greatness of His provision, giving will no longer be a chore. It becomes an overflow. That's why the Corinthians said, it's cheerful giving that pleases God. Macedonian church gave out of their poverty because they gave themselves first, understanding that He, Christ, gave Himself before we have the ability to even give ourselves to Him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for this narrative that was interspersed between the two quite intense discourses Jesus had. The first one was condemnation of the religious system, and then after that, the destruction of the temple. But Lord, it was an encouragement for us, Lord, that You do see our worship to You. And Lord, our hearts, even as we've sung earlier, we don't have much to bring, but all we can give, we give to You. And so Lord, today, we say that our hearts and our lives surrendered to You, may You be pleased. You know, before we end, let me give a quick application for us. Because God sees what man overlooks, let's learn to value what God values. Because that's what He looks at. Learn to value what God values. And then number two, because God's math is different from ours, let's practice the discipline of sacrificial generosity. And then finally, because giving is worship unto the Lord, honor God. Not just with the 10, but also with the 90. Remember what the Lord says, whatever you do, whether in word or in deed, do it all for the glory of God. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we say, we think, oh Lord, I gave You my 10, huh? Okay, I can do whatever I can with the 90%. Listen, how much of it is His? Not just 10, not 20, not 40, not 50, not 80, but 100. All is His. And so I just wanted to throw this application for us as we go today. Lord, let's all stand. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would understand Your value system. We are impressed by amounts of and sums of currencies. We are sometimes, we take note and we notice amounts. But Lord, You look beyond that. And Lord, I pray that You would also, because your math is way different than ours, Lord, let's look at generosity as a privilege more than a chore. And that, Lord, we would honor You with all that we have. We're not just talking about finance, Lord, but even our lives, our hearts. Because where our treasure is, that's where our heart is as well. So, Lord, even as we leave today, may Your blessing go with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.